welcome to Parade of Dicks. I am your host, Lucy Buttons, sometimes known as the Dick Finder General. And I am here with my co-producer, Jonnell.
What up?
Hey.
Hey.
How have you been? I feel like we haven't done this in forever.
You've been gone for a bit.
How do you know I was gone? You forgot I was gone.
I forgot it.
How dare you? Don't try to pretend. You're not even following me on Facebook.
Well, you were bad for Facebook for
so
a little
bit. So were you.
Bit.
We were both banned.
We were both banned.
We were naughty.
We were in Facebook jail for a little bit.
7 days. I wasn't even allowed to use Messenger.
So that's the thing. So if it's 7 days, they even block your Messenger privileges. Because for me, I was only out for 3 days over a weekend, but I cannot.
Why did you get 3 days and I got 7 days?
I only had one photo that was
what photo?
So I
still don't know what it is.
So I was trying to upload the album art of our episodes because I feel that's a good way to represent our both the essence of the episode as well as our artistic prowess.
Yours.
And a lot of them are really good, but I forgot one of our photos is literally a collage of vaginas.
Right, and we told you not to post that.
Yes, I remember now after being blocked for 3 days, both my personal account and the Parade of Dicks account.
Okay.
So my bad.
So Jonnell, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's not my first block, right? Yours was only blocked for 3 days. It's my second block because I did that talk back at KGB Bar with Soraya, who does the dictatorship. Remember I brought you the magnets with the dicks dressed up?
Those are amazing artworks. The first time I saw them, I remember hearing about those artworks maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, about this person that dresses up people's penisia. Penises.
Yeah.
And then I was fascinated about not only about the art form, but how it gets to the point where it gets dressed. And then surprisingly,
I was asked to talk about our podcast at her art opening.
That was amazing.
So the thing is, I posted the flyer for it, which was one of her works of art. And, you know, obviously it had a dick. And so someone reported it. Not the first time I posted it, but the second time I posted it. And I think it was on Instagram. And I figured out finally how I get so many views when I post something on Instagram and cross-post it on my Lucy Buttons page and Twitter. I get like thousands and thousands and thousands of views, which is awesome. But someone reported it and then I got blocked. So now this is my second block, which caused me some trouble because I couldn't do a lot of business. And I traveled and I couldn't post anything or do any of that stuff. And if you get blocked multiple, if you get banned or jailed or whatever multiple times, they'll just close your account.
Yep.
And I use mine to do business besides just promoting this show and my shows. I mean, I get booked for other things through it. It's really important and bad. So that is why I told you not to post 1,000 vaginas.
I bet. Well, this is going to be, well, luckily it was on my post.
Neither time, by the way, have I been banned for my own titties or any of my own stuff. And with Soraya's stuff, it's satirical
artwork.
And it's art, it's supposed to be okay. And I know the vaginas were also
those were a
work of art.
Artwork. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, you got us banned, dude. Not cool. Not cool.
Not cool at all. That was bad. I think the next one will be 30. I remember a couple of years ago, I got banned because the nipple algorithm of Facebook wasn't that solid yet, or the warning. So I used to just post nudes on my page, and it was okay until it gets reported. But when they turned on their nipple algorithm, which they do have, because I have a friend of mine works there. the mic dead. They pinged me 3 times in a row, so I didn't have... I had a warning simultaneously all 3 times, and I got banned immediately for 45 days. And 45 days was a little bit too long. That's around the time
fuck me up with my shows and
exactly.
stuff.
So I still had to. There's no helpline for Facebook. So
right, I know.
So somebody actually had to, like a friend of mine had to talk for another friend of mine to actually check the stuff, and then... at least now they give you a little bit more of a warning when
I couldn't even see what it was. And I did write to them and I did get a response and nothing. And now I know it's because of your vaginas.
My bad.
But that's not even right. I didn't post it. That's bullshit. I know it's my page technically, but whatever.
Yeah, wait.
Well, we're both admins.
We're both admins. I think we get affected in both, but we'll
be a better admin, goddammit.
It's just art. Okay, so we need to be a little bit more discontenting of artwork. And I just like batched upload our album art, which I'm very excited to share to our viewers soon so that they can also, you know, review past episodes that they may have missed.
Right. It's not like we have that many. You said viewers, but listeners.
Listeners.
We don't have that many. I was looking at the numbers recently. We have like 50. Why are we even doing this shit?
Hey, you know what? It only takes one. It only takes one.
I don't know. I think people need to share and get it up or get it up. Pardon the pun.
Get it up.
Get it up.
Pun intended.
Yes. So, okay. But speaking of which, am I supposed to do a dictus qualifier for this? Oh, yeah. So I was recently gone. I went to London.
Yep. We're going to talk a lot about that vacation too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to unpack.
So I know because we haven't done this in a while because I was away. So I guess we're kind of starting with updates and that leads into our dictus qualifier, sure. Right?
Yeah.
So I went to London and as you know and our listeners know, I've been dating someone for a while now.
And this vacation was several months.
And this vacation was with him and it was our first trip together. We did take a day trip, but that doesn't really count.
So this is the first vacation, extended vacation, and international vacation, too.
Yeah, I've never gone out. Well, no, once I went to Canada, but that kind of doesn't count because it was so close.
It's America's hat, so let's consider that. Northern America.
It's a big commitment to go over an ocean with someone. In a plane for multiple days. To meet his family.
Oh, there you. So that's the thing. Those are the things that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
So one.
I don't know how much we can discuss.
Yeah, but no, but first, I mean, we can do it in a more educational, sure. General way.
Sure.
Vacations. It's a very important part of relationships.
It can be. It can make or break a relationship.
And that's what I was curious about.
We took a red eye and I didn't, there was nobody on the red eye. We traveled on Thanksgiving Day. Ooh. And there was like hardly anyone on the plane. And we had all the seats we wanted to spread out in. And I couldn't fucking sleep. We moved so I could have more leg room to the stupid front row. And then there was, you know, the armrest. None of them went down there or back or whatever. Uh-huh. And we were between two bathrooms and where the stewards go upstairs and whatever. And it was a nightmare. I didn't sleep at all.
How long is a flight to? It's a 4 hour, 5 hour flight?
6 hours, 7 hour. Yeah. But then when we got there, it was 6 a.m., and then you have the whole day. And we had tickets to a show that night. Like, we had a whole fucking day. Yep. And plus, his dad picked us up from the airport. So it was like, dun, dun, dun. Hit the ground running.
That's...
And I was a crabby cunt.
And I think that's where the saying goes, if you really want to know who a person is, you travel with them.
Yeah.
Because regardless
of... He already knows I'm a cunt.
A lot of people do.
oh my God, I did this weird class a few weeks back, a nutritional class for one of, for a performer and friend of mine who recently graduated as a nutritional, I think therapist is the correct title. And we were talking there and we got into all of our emotions around eating and everything. And and I said, you know, we have a lot in common to this other performer. I said, but the difference is that people think that you're nice and no one thinks I'm nice. And then later another performer was like laughing her ass off that I said I was nice.
Wait, was that a joke? Oh, you're serious.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, it really hurt my feelings. I am nice. I'm just also a cunt. I'm just straightforward and people don't get it. Well, and that was sort of the point of our conversation. I get it.
And yeah, a lot of people confuse both brutal honesty and straightforwardness to being a bitch. So
right, but passive aggressiveness is also bitchy.
Oh, I think that's worse. And I would
want to depends who you ask in my lifetime, Jonel.
That's true. But I also want to discuss that. But that's a whole different episode. Sorry. I want to concentrate on vacations because this is important. At what point in a dating cycle should you even consider vacations, or should you do stages? Like we're gonna.
You should never consider vacations.
it have to. I love vacation.
I think they come up. I don't think you should consider it. I think they just like come up.
There's a natural progression. So is that a milestone or is that the result of being? I know it's kind of like mincing words, but if you're getting to know somebody, you're dating somebody, you're starting to fall in love and whatnot, is the vacation a test in order to progress even further? Or is it the result of being so comfortable that, yeah, I really just want to take a trip with this person?
Sometimes.
Diplomatic answer.
So, sometimes I think it's a barometer. Sometimes I think it's a test. So I don't know. I think it comes up sometimes. And I know, I'm sorry, that's too diplomatic for you. You're looking at me blankly.
No, I kind of know as much, but I figured there might be like a secret female understanding.
Okay, so from a female perspective, dating a male, I would say if a man asks me on a trip, that means it's serious.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, that has happened. But then I took all the days off of work and then it never came to fruition. So that was a disaster too. But and going to meet someone's family is definitely a barometer.
That's
so if those two things are combined, that's huge.
Over Thanksgiving too. So it's a holiday.
Well, no, it's not a holiday there.
But here, at least I'm assuming that, you know, your partner took that into consideration. It is kind of important.
No. That was just scheduling.
Okay.
It was sort of a last minute trip and, you know, when do we have enough days off to travel to Europe? That's why we did it over
Thanksgiving. How long was this trip again?
5 days.
That's a long time.
But because, you know, you have off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we took off Monday and Tuesday. Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's not really a long time traveling to Europe because jet lag and whatever. It was exhausting.
Yeah, sometimes the weird hours, like the 5-hour difference,
yeah,
is a lot more painful for to the body than a 12-hour, 18-hour difference in some other parts of the country. Because like in the Philippines, like you're awake when 8 o'clock is 8 o'clock. So it's either you just power through one day
yeah,
and then just sleep through the whole day and then kind of get aligned. But the 5 hours is weird because you might sleep too long and then you wake up too late in the day there, or be up too early and sleep too early within the day during the day there.
Right.
Yeah. But vacations, dude. So what did you find out during that trip that you would have not found out just, you know, living together? Because you have been...
You outed me.
You've been shacking up a lot more.
You outed me. We did secretly move in together. I hadn't shared it.
Haven't?
No, we haven't. You have talked moved about in
together? Holy shit. I just thought he was like sleeping over a lot more because of, you know, love and issues.
It's okay. You outed me. You're allowed to out me. Yeah, I know you didn't do it on purpose. Don't pretend. So we secretly moved in together somewhat recently. Now we're really going to get off subject. So, that is really challenging living with someone. It was stressful moving him into my place, which is what we decided to do. So I wasn't really willing to budge on that. That's a discussion. That's maybe something we can talk about is, how you decide
where to move into,
when and where. Mm-hmm. It's hard for the person moving into the other person's space because I think everyone needs to feel as though they have their own space in their home and when sharing a home. And it's hard for me to give up any sliver of space for someone because I have so much shit between my costumes and my vintage hoard and everything. So that's been stressful. And you learn a lot about the other person when you do that. So then when we traveled, what did I learn that in addition to all of that? I would say I learned not to trust him with travel arrangements. He did make good arrangements. We stayed at his friend's place, and everything was fine. He even had the foresight to order me a gluten-free meal on the plane, which I thought was extremely thoughtful.
Wow.
I would not have even thought to do that.
For me, for a 6-hour trip, I would be like, let's just sleep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They don't let you sleep, though. They force feed you. They turn on the lights. They turn them off. They turn them back on again. They go around twice. It was a whole thing. But they were actually kind of annoying about it. And they give you a little breakfast, too. But he screwed up our flight back.
Ooh, why so?
It was military time. And math is not his strongest skill. And so we missed our flight.
Holy shit.
And then you pay $300 per ticket to reschedule it. So $600 and 4 hours later, we were on a different flight and got in much later, which sucked for him worse because he has to get up early for work. So, yeah.
I think trips show all of those things in a more compact way about a person's trajectory in life, because you're right, scheduling is a big part of relationship.
He also didn't feed me lunch most days. Like, we were going so much, there sort of wasn't time. We'd eat breakfast, we'd eat dinner, but in between I was starving, like chewing on my arm, and ate all of my snacks in my handbag.
That's all right. I'm
how about you? Have you gone on a vacation with a lady you're dating?
I know
your wife, right?
Oh yeah, we love trips. You know, trips to Fire Island.
But that's not really what we're talking about.
Yeah, we did. Again, when we started becoming, before we moved in together, which is kind of I think more traditional than how it happened in your case, but on a guy's perspective, a vacation, a long vacation, an international trip. Even to a certain extent, meeting having your partner meet your parents, not necessarily the other way around,
yeah,
is at least for me the important part when I was deciding when we were going to move in together. Like,
you wanted her to meet them first?
Yes, because as for me, when I get into a deep, real relationship, I always look at, I'm always forward thinking. I don't like to just do, oh, this is going to be great for the next couple of months. So for us, like, if we're going to move in together, that's lease. That's a year or two. If you break up, that's tough. That's a lot of money.
You might have to move, look for a new apartment.
Pay to rent, which happened in my case as well. Because, aww, like, oh, you know, when we did break up, I still had to pay for my part in that apartment and then my part in another apartment. So it's a lot of complications in living together. So before I wanted to do that, I wanted to make sure that my partner knew what she was getting into with my family, because there are some things that might be unique to how I grew up and my family per se, like who my parents are, how many aunts and uncles do I have? Why do I have to buy gifts every time I go anywhere? the rounds that we need to do if I go home, or even around the States too. If I visit aunts and uncles, there's like a tour, like a hello auntie and uncle tour that you need to do before you actually need to do your stuff. And I wanted her to have a little bit piece of that. She didn't pass with flying colors, but it was good enough that she tried it.
Did they not like that she was white?
No, my mom fucking loved it.
Okay.
Oh, my parents, they are like as foreign as you can go, which is actually good because that's kind of my tastes too. But they were, I think, a little too accommodating, because the first time I brought her home.
Well, you were too accommodating to her too.
A little bit. But the first time I brought her home, it was more like, just meet the fam. And everybody thought that we were already getting married. It's like, hey, we're just moving in together first. But usually once you move in together, it's just a matter of time when you get engaged, get married and whatnot, which all happened. Okay. So, but again, for me, that was, for me, it's a test. It wasn't.
All right. Well, since we're talking about it, I mean, I feel I have lived with a lot of men. I have lived with 4 boyfriends and tons of male roommates. So I made that mistake, I would say, in the past of living with people just because I wanted to live with them, mm-hmm, or whatever, and not sort of thinking future and all of that stuff. I also made the mistake of bringing people home. It wasn't such a big deal when I lived in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Of course, my family would meet whoever I was dating. But to bring someone home from halfway across the country to meet your family is a big deal.
Yep.
And although it's very normal and my family's relaxed about it, I realized at some point that it was kind of not fair to be putting them through that process of meeting like random people that I've dated, because now I dated those guys for, you know, one for 7 years, another one for 2 years and whatever. Even, you know, they met the Canadian when my dad and my stepmother came out here. It happened to be while we were dating. Mm-hmm. So they met him, and like, they don't need that. You know what I mean? And he didn't deserve it. No, I think they only need to if that person's going to stay in my life.
But that's the thing. How would you know if you don't have certain milestones like that in order to really push the relationship through the layers?
Because if you get married, then somewhere in between deciding you're going to and getting married, they should meet. But otherwise, it's a little bit of a roller coaster for families, too. I mean, sometimes, you know, people have met and then it doesn't work out, and that's hard. I remember being really hard on my niece at one point with one of the guys, and like, you know, and then she's asking about him, and I'm like, just shut up. I hate that guy now.
Oh, that's very interesting, because like, usually like in relationships, when you find somebody that you're dating, especially in these days, like holidays comes about, trip,
but
visits.
You're hoping for long-term. But think of all the ones that like don't work out the last couple of months, and you're really excited about them, and they just don't work out.
That's true. Well,
and then it's just, and then you wasted your time with your family. Even yeah. Like, you could have had more sort of quality time with them instead of them trying to get to know this person that's not even around the next time you see your family.
I guess I look at it differently, because usually family, in my case, though I have a lot in the States. They don't visit that often, so I go to them more than they go to New York. So for them, whenever they're here, whoever I am with, it's just more like the more the merrier whenever I do things.
And that's how we are anyway, right? Yeah. Well, like when we hang out with friends, we're like, whoever can,
Introducing friends, though, to your partner, you know, much like a vacation, which is a major test, that's what I fear more. Like, that's what I am scared
a
little bit.
That's because we're cunty, judgmental.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But the thing is, cunty.
I remember for a while with the tripod, you were like, if you guys don't like her, she's got to go.
That's true. But that's.
But I didn't have that. You were like, we got to approve. And I was like, no, you don't.
No, but that's the thing, too, because usually, more often than not, you know, real friends, you know, the tripod, couple of friends in the office, couple of friends in my basketball crew, they're real homies. That they know me, they know the ups and downs. So they won't lead you astray most of the time. Not saying all the time. So sometimes, do you know that episode in How I Met Your Mother when the glass shatters? When somebody kind of shatters that haze of illusion around your eyes and brain with regards to a certain partner or date, like you're having a great time, not seeing all the flaws yet, and somebody will mention that flaw, and then after that, holy shit, you can't think about it.
I hate that.
So that's why I fear introducing people that I may or may not be interested or I may or may not be having a relationship with soon to my closest friends. Although, it personally, I do it much more often now. Like
but you'd rather get it over with.
I'd rather get it over
because
with.
Because if that person sucks, you don't want to get invested.
That is true. And
I mean, I've dated a lot of dirtbags. So like sometimes my friends notice, but a lot of my friends date dirtbags too. And then they're like, oh yeah, he seems great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the good thing about our stuff is like we'll be respectful or tactful in person, but on the low, like when it's just us, like,
yeah,
homie just bought an $800 cashmere sweater and didn't even buy you anything. Damn, son.
Yeah. I don't even think it was cashmere.
If it's an $800 polyester sweater.
But with Christmas coming up, I am more upset about that this year. I'm like, why didn't I get anything? So I you know, that's a barometer too. There's all different ones. With moving in, I don't know. So now that I've had those experiences and had those long-term relationships that didn't work out where we did live together and I have an apartment that I really like, I don't want to fuck that up. You know what I mean? But I also think that dating in New York City Same if you were doing like a long distance relationship. It's funny because it's not long distance at all. But because of our lifestyles here, taking the train and all of that stuff, it can feel like a long distance relationship.
Astoria to Brooklyn is already a long distance
relationship. Williamsburg to fucking Bay Ridge is like long distance. So the thing is that after a certain part, if you're spending enough nights together, then you have to kind of like figure out what's going to work for your life too. And
that's highly a New York thing, because
we both had roommates too, and like that puts a damper on the lovin', you know.
I am lucky that I haven't really had that experience where I was bothered by somebody else's boot knocking
right
at night. At least in my apartment, I've had experienced it on certain trips. But like with friends, when friends kind of hook up
right
during that vacation,
talking about your recent trip?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was happy about it.
You were
though.
Sharing a room?
No, we weren't sharing a room, but it was a house. And, you know, the boot knocking was a little bit of
Does it make you horny when you hear other people fucking?
No, I
because you were by yourself, so then you're just resentful.
I'm not resentful.
You were. Did you cry?
No, I did not cry. God damn it.
Cry and wank?
No. That's my last cry and wank was probably when I was 12. Aww. So listening to My Chemical Romance or some shit.
Emo wank.
Emo wank. I'm actually at the point in life that I'm really, really enjoying the littlest things in life. Talking about updates. I think a few episodes ago we talked about this this lady.
Yeah, what's going on with that lady?
So she again, like mentioned during that episode,
you fucked her.
Very much so, a lot.
First time.
Yeah.
Fucked her all night long. Sex. Next day. Fuckathon again.
Yeah.
Then what happened? That's where we left off.
So, yeah.
Day two.
Day two. And then we hung out again over the weekend on the Sunday after that.
Did you have a bone-a-thon again?
Not a thon, but a while.
But you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was in the apartment, so we enjoyed the cat. And we enjoyed,
Is that a reference to her pussy?
No. My cat. I'm sorry, Whiskey.
Okay. Thank you.
We enjoyed the company. We enjoyed the neighborhood. So, that was fine. But, again, she just ghosted for a short bit.
How long is a short bit?
Like a week. So we were.
So she didn't enjoy the neighborhood.
I know. I will.
You walked around the neighborhood. You did shit. You fucked, and then she left. No text after she left.
Texted during that day, Sunday, and most of our conversation was revolving around. Setting a day midweek Wednesday because she will
before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving because she will be out for almost 2 weeks after that for she's, you know, going back to family during Thanksgiving and flying out to Art Basel the week after. So
we wanted to see each other before.
Once before. That was her idea.
And like, then?
And then from that last day where we texted up until the Monday after that.
Okay, where still out of town.
Where, we just came back again from being out of town. Then she said,
whole week. Hear from her.
And the sucky part there was, I got stood up on that Wednesday.
By someone else?
No, by her. Because we were planning to, like I suggested, I have plans with my friends, so I'm not bothering your schedule because I know you're busy. Hang out. Come through whenever you're free. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It's everybody
big drinking night,
and everybody has something to do. And I don't want to put any like hamper. If you want to finish your work, just come through whenever, and then you know you can get to meet more of my friends. It'll be great. And she was the one who suggested, no, let's just hang out at your place, relax, yada yada yada.
She canceled your plans.
She didn't even let me know.
No, you canceled your plans with your friends.
So that was
And then she stood you up. That's a tough burn.
But again, I was angry for an hour. I was angry for an hour. I was sad for an hour because I felt that, a text, regardless of, even if you're burning, a text should be super easy.
Did you contact her before she was meant to come here?
Yes, I did. I texted her that morning of the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then no reply until around mid-afternoon. So I texted her again just to make sure.
And still no reply.
Still no reply.
Ooh.
And by that time, I've already said no to my friends. And I didn't want to just like...
No, you should have. By that time, if you do a double confirmation and there's no response, then you call your friends. You'd be like, actually, I'm going to come out.
Yeah, but again...
Because you have to take care of yourself.
True. But at that point, I was also thinking like, okay, this is the hour that I am a little sad. I'm going to give myself an hour, hour and a half of being sad. And the rest of the night, I was actually mad because...
Yeah. There's always an emotion before anger.
But I, you know, drank a couple of fingers of whiskey.
Not a good idea when you're mad.
Slept really well for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Because I needed to do a lot of cooking.
And then you went and had fun Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Fast forward a week.
Fast forward a week. She then.
I don't want to hear about your fucking holiday. Tell me what happened.
No, but during the holiday was when I got the best advice from friends. It's like, hey, just look at it in the bigger scale of things. She's a kid, technically. Well, not technically, but you know.
No, like, that's not how that word's used.
But I mean, she's young, very young.
She's young.
She's an artist, mm-hmm. like a double artist, both in front, behind the camera, on canvas, like really weird contemporary stuff.
Okay.
So there's they already multiple people told me you need to account for a certain level of ghosting or a certain amount of immaturity or unprofessionalism with regards to those things. Because that
kind of... It's not unprofessionalism, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so unorganization, whatnot. So just have, you know, be thankful for the week that you have. And I still am. Like,
okay, so then what happened, though?
Well, Monday later, texted me, apologized. She was, like, stuck doing her work. Sent me all the stuff that she was working on and all the places that she had to have it critiqued and yada yada and had to prepare and pack and repack and ship to Art Basel in Miami. And at that point, it's like, hey, don't worry about it. It was, you know, it's sucky, but you're busy. Call me when you're done. And then we'll see you then. And that's kind of like the new outlook that I'm trying to do. Or in everything now, it's like, just mm-hmm. find the littlest, happiest thing. Because like,
absolutely. Life is about those little happy moments. And then you get as many of them as you can, as close together as you can.
It was technically not, it's like not even a week. It was 3 days of sheer fun. I'm not going to erase those 3 days for, even if it's longer, if it's a week of dead silence and ghosting, which we talked about, which is absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like, you know what? At least I got something. If I got ghosted, I didn't get anything. Not even like a high or not even like
so a... So you told her and then she's still gone. So that was the last exchange.
Yeah. We did text today. Now
is... Who initiated it?
She did.
Okay. What did she say?
She was just like, all right. Just touched down Miami.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So she's just... trying to work. I'm saying I'm going to be she apologized. It'll be super busy for the next. She might disappear. But she told me that she'll be back I think Wednesday next week.
Yeah. I mean, I get the whole artist thing. I get how you get busy before a trip. I feel absolutely swamped between the trip I just took and the one that's coming up. But just be careful because, you know, we really do teach people how to treat us.
Yes.
So, okay, she fucked up. That's understandable. She apologized. But then right there where she apologized is where you set the boundary. So you say, it's totally understandable. Contact me when you get back. Now she's communicating, which is fine. But she needs to understand that in the future, if you two are to continue seeing one another, because you have a tendency to allow you give people so much leeway that sometimes they treat you like a doormat and you deserve better than that. So you have to just make it really clear that it's understandable for her to get too busy and to need to cancel mm-hmm. or to get wrapped up in her work, but she needs to just send you a text and say, sorry, I'm not where I need to be, and communicate. You have to communicate with people. You can't just stand people up.
And initially, had this been me, maybe 6 months ago, I would have just, hey, this is not going to work out because I don't like the stress of waiting for somebody to text me or not knowing what's happening. I would have just like cut my losses.
Yeah.
However, I did listen to you. I listened to my friends. They're like, hey, there's no immediate indication that this is going to be anything extremely real yet.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we should not enjoy the journey. Like,
absolutely.
I wouldn't not say, I wouldn't say no if she wanted to hang and hook up again. Because I'm single.
Yeah.
I'm not dating anyone.
Did you go on any other dates?
So, yes, I did.
Because that makes a difference too, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you have like multiple balls in the air.
Concurrently though. So that happened in the span of 2 weeks. And within that 2 weeks, all from meeting her. And I think I did tell you a little bit that prior to meeting this artist person, I also was hanging out with another person I was trying to get to know, the fiddler. She was great. And
I love her nickname.
She plays the fiddle. So, and it's good that we're talked, that you brought it up, because this was actually the person that I could have seen a semblance of a future with, should have, if it worked out.
Okay.
Like, her demeanor, she's very prompt, she's very, very proper, artistic, cares about the environment, smart, caring, and stuff like that. Her hobby is fucking composting. So, how hippie is that? It's great. She's gross. Very cute. Super tall, semi redhead, or like dirty. What do you call a dirty redhead?
Like dark. Every redhead is dirty.
No, but yeah. So we went out. We hung out three times, and after the third time, when I wanted to arrange another dinner or hang out, she was nice enough to tell me, even if I was a little bit surprised that. She was not interested in seeing me anymore. So that was the reverse ghosting.
She told you on the date?
Yeah, she told me, not on the date, but after we hung out that day, went home, texted her thanked her for hanging out. And I wanted to arrange another date, like soon after. And then her reply was, thanks for all the dates, super amazing, loved hanging out with you, but I don't think that I would like to see you again. I just don't feel that traction there.
Okay, so how did that feel for you?
It sucked. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It sucks to be told that you are not compatible, or you're like, if you get rejected regardless, it never gets old. However, after the initial sting, I was really, really happy, because I could look at her last few messages, enjoy the last few dates that we had, and we had a few really good dates.
Yeah.
Enjoy the two times that we did make out.
Yeah.
Leave it at that, erase the number, and that's it.
Yeah. And she treated you like a human being.
And it was straight. It was like, it wasn't like, I don't think I want to go out anymore. No, she's like, I don't feel the attraction.
Yeah.
And that's totally, totally, totally fine.
But it hurts. It sucks.
It hurts. And it's important for people to feel wanted and to feel loved and to feel sexy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And speaking of sexy, I want to go back to our original topic. I don't want to. So my apologies for rambling, but.
Well, we both rambled because you outed me.
Well, let's go back to like Target vacation.
Yeah.
What I want to know, how different is regular sex and vacation sex?
I don't think, well, sometimes maybe it's different, but we were talking about hotel rooms with Ty Swanson, right? About having sex in hotel rooms. So I think what I'd like to talk about is, do you have sex in other people's homes? Because we were staying in his friend's home.
I was going to say.
So his friend vacated the home. So we basically had it to ourselves, which is really nice. But, you know, but do you have sex in a friend's home, in their bed, on their couch, on their pullout couch? If they go home to meet your family, are you having sex in your family's home?
Yes. So
you did. You do? Is it quiet sex? Do you?
Yeah. Sometimes that's even sexier.
Bite the pillow sex. It is totally sexy.
Super hot.
Yeah.
But it's
also like, meh.
Let's look at the layers though. person's pull out couch. I say yes. What do you say?
Then you're in their living room. So if there's no door to the living room, I say.
But you said he vacated the house.
Well, okay, we weren't on the couch, but I'm as a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. If the person is in the home and you're on their pull-out couch, and there's no door to that living room, no. And pull-out couches are squeaky unless it's one of those foam things. I say no. Okay.
I was just going to say couch in general.
Plus, is it upholstery? I think you have to take into account, like we were talking about with Kai, the materials, because this is someone's home. It's not a hotel room.
All right.
I mean, it's gross. Do not fuck on a hotel couch. That is horrendous. Don't do that.
Really?
No, gross. Think of how many other people have fucked there. Ugh.
You know what?
Good way to catch something.
Nah, come
on. But your friend's couch, no, that's fucked up. They're sharing their home with you. I would be upset if someone did that. That's, you know, that's a rule in my house. No cunts on the couch.
Really? So, okay, so if you had a house.
When I've had a roommate, that's a rule. No cunts on the couch. I don't want to come home. And I did one time to a white creamy spot on my couch, and I was really upset. If I live at home and it's my couch and I'm single person and I bring someone back and I want to fuck on my own couch or sit naked on my own couch, fine. But if you have a roommate, absolutely not.
I
put something, you can put something down. You can put a blanket down.
Okay.
Your own blanket.
Yeah.
Not my blanket.
I would tend to, so let's compare this. So you say no to the living room and the couch.
Yeah.
And generally, I'm sure there's going to be exceptions
here
and there.
You can stand and fuck in the bathroom. You can fuck against a wall. I don't think you should fuck on a friend's kitchen cupboard, but I guess I would say it's okay to fuck on like the sink if there's like the space around the sink.
I have a different angle on.
But we did fuck in his bed.
So there you go. So that's my thing.
But we changed the sheets.
That's my thing. We are totally opposite this way.
No, we didn't mean to.
Oh yeah, you just suddenly slip and fell onto his dick. Kinda.
Well, that's not what the position would dictate, but yeah, let's go with that.
No, but I'm opposite. I'd rather have sex anywhere else but the bed.
Right.
Like, yeah,
no,
of course.
We probably shouldn't have.
Yeah. Of course, bathroom. Of course, like maybe not kitchen.
Wait, always?
Kitchen?
Or you mean when you're staying at someone else's house?
Well, for me, when has this happened? Well, like going back to my ex's parents' house. So, but it's a different room, so that's totally fine. It's also kind of like a semi-pull-out couch, but it's a guest room, so it's kind of implied that they will change the seat, or we're gonna change the sheets after.
I usually take them off because I'm a nice house guest.
There you go.
So
I understand those kind of things. So I'm kind of okay with like dining table. I'm okay with the idea
people eat there.
Well, the idea because people eat there because it gets messy. All that you clean it.
Depends what it's made out of.
Of course.
For how germs work and stuff. Like
But like couches,
science, Jonelle.
like couches.
Right.
Plus,
what if you break the table?
Oh, well,
that's
a fun story.
Oh!
No. I mean, it's going to be a fun story. Oh, I've never broken a table, but yeah.
Yeah, but how embarrassing.
Yeah, but again, supposedly these are, they're supposed to be
friends.
He had
a good table we could have fucked on. It was like a giant sort of picnic table, but with benches that move. So it was like big and sturdy. Totally could have done that, but no.
The thing for me in beds is it's obvious. When it gets messy, when you take off the sheets, it's obvious what had happened there.
Well, we changed the sheets.
Okay. Well,
so then I
guess
not obvious.
Was it more fun though, in another person's domicile?
No, but I think we were trying to be respectful, so that made it more fun because we were like, "No, we can't," and then we did anyway, and then that's more
fun. For me, it's like. It's half and half. It's the half of the excitement that you cannot be loud.
Right.
You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to lose a friendship if they find you fucking in their place. That's fine.
But your parents.
That's fine too. They're it's going to be weird. It's psychologically damaging, but you're coupled. I mean, you're already coupled. That's why you're in that place. Yeah. So they know that.
They do know that. But, like, your parents don't want to hear you fucking. And I do think it's different as a girl than it is as a boy.
That you know, that is kind of true.
Yeah, it's totally
like,
true.
Because I remember.
It's like my dad hearing some punk kid fucking his daughter. It's a little different. But I've done it. I've done it in both of their guest rooms. And sometimes on the floor because their old bed was really squeaky.
There you go.
So.
Floor.
Move to the floor.
Floor in somebody else's.
And it's a carpeted floor, but we put something down.
Yeah. The thing with the bedroom, I feel that is way, way, way more intimate than anywhere else in the house. So if I, if ever I was staying in your apartment, that's the one place I will not do it.
And well, okay.
Because everywhere
that's
else,
that's true. That's true. I had a friend years ago who I ended up fucking later, but I had a 3-bedroom apartment that I shared with 2 men, and my friend would come and he had keys to our apartment and he was allowed to stay on the couch. It was a huge couch, and he sometimes brought visitors with him. Even sometimes we had an extra room, whatever. And one time I came home from work and found him fucking someone in my roommate's room, and he had wrapped my roommate's monogram towel around his dick, and I was like, what is wrong with you? Give me back my key. Because I thought it was fucked up that he would fuck in my roommate's room. So I guess you're right. And then I did a bad thing in London.
No, I mean, again, it's a personal thing. Maybe most people wouldn't care.
I don't know. It's like we're adults now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like you let Allegra cat sit all the time and you don't care if she fucks in your bed.
I don't, because she's a really, really good friend of mine, and I actually want her to experience love. And if my house, or at that time my apartment, was a little bit more conducive for love in, I'm all right for that. I support
now
that.
Now you got the mood lighting popping.
Oh
though.
Yeah, voice activated too. But if it
so uncomfortable, everybody, he was like, "What lighting do you want for the podcast?" And I'm like, "Normal, well lit. We're in your bedroom. Like, put all the lights on."
Like, you want, like, sunset, tropical sunset.
No.
Like spring blossom.
Weirdo, it's just the two of us. But, don't make it weird.
Yeah, I mean, because Allegra is a very, very close friend. Right. I'm 1,000% in support of her finding love. But if it's some just casual bro dude that you just wants to hook up, I'm totally open for them to have at it in my living room. I can lock myself in my room and put on some headphones. That's fine. But to have, like...
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Personal, though. I mean.
But also, I mean, he was letting a couple stay there. So he did know that.
Yeah. And I assume that that friend knew it was kind of one of your earlier trips together.
I don't know.
Oh. You know, I think people.
You know what was weird, though? So I met him for the first time, right? And we thought we were going to, like, go and grab lunch together or whatever. And he has a kid. But instead, they came to visit us at his apartment.
Huh.
Which was awkward.
Well,
it's like, are we supposed to hostess this, or how does, you know what I mean? And then we had to clean up really quick everything. Kind of like,
that's fine. I mean, wait, we didn't touch on hotels, so how do you feel about?
Oh, I'll fuck in a hotel. Yeah. We talked about that with Ty.
No, but how different it is. How
is
would
the
you
sex
think?
Different?
Yeah.
I think it depends. One time I had a great hotel sex thing. I was actually, ooh, that's naughty. We went to a burlesque festival.
Wah, wah.
And during intermission, went upstairs, and people are going to know which festival this is. Went upstairs.
I'm pretty sure most of them are doing something.
Had a quick bang and then went back to the festival. And that was fun because, like, wearing evening wear.
Ooh,
just kind of pull a dress up, yeah.
So that's
dress up, suit down.
So that's one of those fantasies that I've never had happen.
Yeah,
I would always
nice.
like okay, most of my fucking husband, like, mostly either natural progression during the night, but then it's like, yo, I'm so horny, just like, can I just like hike up my skirt and then we can go somewhere real quick, some closet and come out. That's fun. One day I'll do that. It's gonna be
what's
my
not fun
list.
Is staying in a hotel with someone and thinking that you're gonna fuck and then you don't. That sucks.
Wait. Whoa. Was this a real?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Did that other person fuck somebody else then?
No.
Spent all the seeds or something?
No.
They're just like not in the mood?
I don't know. Sometimes, Janelle, I get really sick of initiating sex. I initiate sex all the time. I'm a horny motherfucker. So how many days a week do you want to have sex if you're in a relationship?
Every day. Once a day.
Once a day. Mm-hmm. One time that you come a day.
Yeah.
And the girl comes twice, right?
That's the rule? As many as she wants.
Okay. Is it over once you come, though?
Nah.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't need to have sex every day, but in a new relationship, I would have sex mm-hmm. every day. But I probably would like to have, I prefer fuck sessions. So not once, multiple times mm-hmm. of me coming, them coming. Like 1 weekend day every week. And, you know, like at least 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So how did I get on this? Where was I going with this?
The dude that didn't fuck you in your hotel.
Yeah, so I get sick of initiating because I want sex all the time and not every man does, which is weird, especially when you're a burlesque performer and like people view you as like a sex object constantly and a redhead everywhere you go.
In the end, people are just people. I mean, no matter how hot your partner is, there will come a day that it will plateau, that you will have to like, yo.
He just had a really low, but he also drugs and alcohol.
So that's the problem. Because like for me, I think like being in another place, especially hotel, if it's at least a decent hotel, something that you're not going to have tetanus when you touch anything, that's kind of a given. You got to have to.
Nicest hotel I've ever stayed in.
What?
Yeah. It was such a bummer.
Oh my God. I remember.
So if you're listening, and you fuck women, and you take them to a hotel. Fuck them in the hotel.
Yeah. I think you're paying for people to clean up after your spunk. So that's part of the fees. If you really look down into the fine print, that's in there. Like sheets, bed cover, duvet.
It's kind of like getting a hot tub in your room and not using it.
Sometimes, it's just...
I mean, I don't like it. I think it's dirty, but
there's some phases for me. I love doing that and like having it super hot and having it filled all the time because I'm not worried about electricity or water or heat. But sometimes you're right. It's just
how privileged of you.
Yeah. But when you're in a hotel,
now that you're here in America,
I worry about it in my apartment, but not in a hotel. But yeah, I think I always thought that was a given. Like,
It's not a given.
I admittedly, some business trips a few years ago, I was, really, really lonely. Prior to going to that city that I'm going to, I'm going to have to change my OKC and my Tinder zip to see if I can match somebody there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The off chance that, yay, I'm on a business trip.
I tried doing that in D.C. this past year. I tried doing it in Boston to find someone to take me on a date. I just wanted to see, how the dates were in other places with other people. Yeah. Didn't work out. And in Boston, they were like, oh, no, there's girls around here. So if you don't live here, I'm good.
That's weird. Because
a lot of people go back and forth between New York and Boston.
I thought it was opposite. The dudes would love if the girl were transient. And the girls would hate. Like for me.
It's like I'm at a burlesque festival. Want to come hang out? No takers.
Oh my God.
None.
Holy fuck. How come I never get asked that? Motherfucker, I'm really upset.
I mean, I was testing the waters, dick mission and whatnot, but like, yeah.
No, but that's a fail. If you're in a different place, especially if you're in a hotel, a resort, someplace where they clean up after you, you gotta mess it up.
Well, that's why you have sex in your parents' house, because the maids.
That's kind of true.
Okay, so our dick disqualifier for this episode was actually talking about not being able to afford vacations.
That's true.
But, I mean, for years, I didn't go on vacations. I would just go home to visit my family. But I guess it's true. As an adult, you want to be able to go and do those things, whether it's, you take a bus somewhere or a train ride.
That's the thing. I mean, I don't want people who are listening to think that, oh, it's a certain level of dollar amount that you have to earn per year to be able to have us as partners. No, it's more like you have to be resourceful some way. Stay with friends.
Stay at a friend's beach.
Borrow your cars. Yeah. Borrow a friend's cars. We've borrowed some of your friend's cars.
I rented a friend's car for the day so we could go upstate,
watch Incubus, which is
go to fucking Connecticut for a meal for no fucking reason for 4 hours out of our way, Jonelle.
Again, it's 2 hours, not four. You're exaggerating.
Round trip.
But it's finding, being resourceful enough. One is having somebody that you like enough that you want to be with them for an extended period
That's
of time.
That's
true. Two, being, liking them enough to be resourceful enough to get the money. Either do overtime.
Not the money, the means.
The means.
Because like, it's not necessarily money. I have a friend here who travels constantly and doesn't usually have a job. And, you know, every couple months she's going someplace and doing something with a friend and just being resourceful.
I mean, again, it's more like if you can get the money, the resources to go to do your thing, be it a trip or buy them a certain, you like the person enough to do that extra thing, to save the money for that trip, to not blow your load on toys and drinks and stupid stuff because you're planning for a vacation, a trip. That's a major indication on the health of a relationship. And then once you get there, actually enjoying the trip, because no trip will be 100% perfect.
Yeah.
There will always be fuck ups.
I also, you know what I don't like when I travel with someone is when like they don't want to pay the money to do the fun thing.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do every single fun thing. You might have to pick and choose if you're on a budget. I've been there and it sucks when you have to do that. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't want to just eat like cans of beans. Well, that would have been appropriate in London. But I don't just want to eat like cans of beans and toast or whatever to take the trip and to not be able to go on the rides and or not be able to go, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Pay the admission to go do the thing.
100%. Like,
you got to do it. You're only there. You only live once. You're only there once.
When I go on a real trip, like if I have to go on a plane to go somewhere, I already have it in my head that although I have a budget, ideally I would only spend X amount.
Yeah.
But if it's fun, fuck the budget.
But you can spend, so that's the thing, is you have a budget. It doesn't mean you can't do the fun things. Yeah. Maybe you have a less expensive meal or something like that, but you can still do local stuff. Or if you are staying at a hotel, maybe you make your coffee in the room instead of going to.
And it's, again, budget doesn't mean just dollars. It's energy. It's time, because some stuff might take a little longer.
Absolutely.
You might be a little bit more tired to do certain things, or you might be under the sun a little too long. So
we were exhausted that first day, but I got us tickets for Gin House Burlesque.
Oh.
And I thought it was just going to be a show on a stage. I really don't research things that much because I want to just go and like have the experience. But I did know that it was at a social club and people usually got dressed up for it. So, I mean, he, even though he was going to get a suit that he had there, he brought his suit and I took, you know, a sort of 20s style dress, and people were like, oh, that's such a great dress. You know how I like to get dressed. And when they heard my accent and knew I wasn't from there, they're like, you traveled with that? It's like, yeah, why am I going to travel halfway around the world and go to a show and look pedestrian?
That's true. And that's
like, why? Why would anybody do that? If you're going to do something fun and fancy, make it fun and fancy.
Exactly. And sometimes you know, a regular meal, or like a meal that you'll be having during that trip.
You dress for the meal.
It just accentuates the experience. So
absolutely.
I'm going to shout out a good friend of mine, a good friend of ours, Carl. When the last time we went to New Orleans, we planned like, hey, I'm just going to bring, I didn't even bring a nice suit because, with the amount of space that we have for travel right now, domestic travel, you can't just like stuff everything in your bag.
I check a bag.
Yeah. So for
me, I fit an evening gown and all the things in a carry-on before.
I try to put everything in my hand carry because I travel light. But even with traveling light, hey, I'm going to bring a nice jacket. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring a tie. I'm going to have a nice shirt that I will steam while I shower there. Yeah. Because, you know, one of those meals where it's going to be fancy. It might not be the most fancy restaurant there, but we are the fancy. We
Absolutely.
Are the party.
It's the same way you have to bring the party everywhere.
Yeah. And then we did our dinner. We went to the casino. And then luckily we won some money there, or a lot of money during our crap session. It was great. And it's not just the event. It's like getting into a cab.
Absolutely.
You walk different in hard bottoms. You walk different when you're like unbuttoning your coat when you're sitting down or buttoning it up. So everything adds to the experience. And that's, but again, that requires
Janelle, planning. That's burlesque.
Ooh. Well, should I be a burlesque person now?
No.
John L. Jiggle a jong doesn't work?
Oh, God.
No? No? Boyless?
But that's kind of the idea, is when you do all that stuff, you do. Even when I used to teach dance, it's like when you put on the whole thing, you're going to carry yourself a little differently.
And it's not just the money. It's energy, too. Because you are a little bit, you might be putting a facade, but it reverse it a little bit or change the paradigm. It's not putting a mask on. It's just bringing out the best version of yourself for an X amount of time during that night.
Yeah.
Being a little bit nice, just using better words, you know, saying hi, walking a little bit tall. You know, it's hard to walk tall, especially if you're as small as me, in a hoodie and some sneakers, you know.
Yeah.
But in hard bottoms, in a tie.
That's why I encourage you to dress up every day.
Ooh, I'm trying.
And everyone, because it is like, as our society becomes more casual, so does everything.
That's,
you know,
true. And it just, you know, gives you a little bit more of an aura of respect, which just adds to both attraction, but also credibility if you get attraction. But if you want to give stuff to people, it's good to have a little bit more credibility in whatever.
When you say
it
give
is.
Stuff to people, you're talking about your penis.
Hey. Also my love and prayers.
Sure. All right. Well, I think we rambled on long enough about that.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Thanks for dropping my bomb.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Good talk.
Milestone. Milestone for everybody. Again, thank you for listening. If you want to talk to the dicks, if you want to share your stories, comments, questions, and topics, email paradeofdicks@gmail.com. Lucy, do you have any shows? Where do people need to find you?
Let's see. This is going on Wednesday. So Wednesday night, I will be at Guadalupe Inn with Darlinda, just Darlinda. Show starts at 8. Make your reservations for 8. You can have dinner. It's great Mexican restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And Thursday, I am back at Hell's Kitchen Lounge, which we talked about somewhat recently.
Yay.
In Newark, New Jersey, by myself. And you get all those opportunities to tip me if you recall the conversation. And then I have Dromedary on the 20th, where I'm debuting my new act, which is all about the balls.
I am very excited for not only the balls, but that is a very stellar lineup. Because I'm planning my month, I will be there.
Good.
A lot of really, really good performers and very, very attractive ones. So I'll be there too. If you want to say hi, you can follow me at the tweets and the Instagram at Eljong, EL_JONG. And the website is back on because I am now taking shoots for the holidays. Because I want to give more gifts to people.
Good.
Just go to www.jongclemente.com. Comment, email, whatever.
JONG.
JONGClemente.com. See a little bit of my work, and maybe we can work together as well. And with that,
we're out.
Adios.